Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes. Welcome to a very different Yellow Army podcast. The morning after the night before.
Yes, what a night it was.
We published a podcast yesterday, many of you will have noticed.
It's actually still out there. You can find it if you knew where to look.
And you can go through it for any kind of clues, and I don't think you'll find one. I genuinely don't think that Gary Johnson had any idea what was coming.
Not a clue.
When we sat down.
Not a clue. No one did. There was quite a relaxed atmosphere at the press conference yesterday, and obviously, as relaxed as it can be on a terrible run that we've been on. But, he was looking forward to Saturday.
He was. So let's recap on the events of the day for anybody who's maybe been out of the country. We do find ourselves now permanently on the other side of Gary Johnson.
Yes, yeah. There is no coming back this time.
No coming back now. Yesterday's timeline, the press conference was at 9:30, as usual, at South Devon College. Very good-natured press conference. Not one clue. I've been back in my mind over that press conference in some detail. There was no hint whatsoever
that
this was coming. Yeah. Alan Richardson from the BBC actually finished his little part of the press conference, which you can hear on our podcast, by saying, well, King Gary, are you going to abdicate?
Yeah.
Which prompted a little bit of an ironic laugh.
Yeah.
But still, absolutely no hint as to what was coming later in the day. Then, lunchtime, I was just driving into the car park up at Radio X.
Okay.
When I had a phone call from a top contact. Top contact who said, is it true? Have you heard? And I hadn't heard anything at that point. So thanks, Hayden, for the shout. I went straight into the studio, scurried in, opened up the laptop, found the statement. Yes, it was true. Clark Osborne standing down as chairman and preparing to put the club into administration. Now, we're not strictly in administration yet.
I don't think that's clear. The administrators were certainly at the club yesterday.
Okay.
Inside the building.
Is it somebody, presumably it's somebody like Begbie's trainer, one of the big administrators?
Don't know. I mean, you usually hear, don't you?
You do.
They usually name themselves, obviously, because they want people to approach them. But
that may
not
come in.
Yet.
Yeah. That
maybe the wheels haven't firmly been put in place.
This is such a fast-moving story. We should point out that we're recording this at 10:29
a.m. So by the time I get it online, probably by about 12 o'clock,
things may have changed.
It could have all changed again.
I don't know why we're laughing, but what else do you do? So through the afternoon, my phone was going mad. Yours probably was as well.
Absolutely.
I was writing stories. We got stuff on the radio. And then I went to a Torbay Council meeting, which started at 5:30.
I thought I'd finished my day's work and went to the pub.
And then almost exactly at the start of the Torbay Council meeting came the news that Gary Johnson had left the club by mutual consent.
Yeah.
So I used the first half an hour of the council meeting to write that one up.
I had tried to ring Gary a couple of times before that and got no response, and I wasn't surprised by that at all, because obviously it's gathering his thoughts and etc. He was probably in a meeting with the administrators.
I imagine that he was in a meeting for much of the afternoon, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's a point where whatever has been said over the last couple of weeks, it must have been in the back of Gary's mind, do I really need to be doing this? You know, I've said I'm staying, I'm not going anywhere. But as soon as this happened, you maybe thought, now's the time to cut my losses.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't really explained why Gary's gone.
No.
And I know that sounds a ridiculous thing to say, because everyone's been wanting Gary to go for weeks. You know, the fans have basically turned in the last three or four weeks against the manager. But did he decide, I've had enough?
Mm.
Was it a financial thing? Gary being on a certain amount of money and them wanting to cut the cloth and him deciding, you know, yeah, I can help there, or was it just the administrators having read all the social media, maybe, thinking
time to go. I did have
it was a mutual, obviously, but that's not always strictly the case, is it, when they say it's mutual?
No, I think a lot of clubs do that because they just don't want to make public exactly what's happened. You very rarely see a manager get fired these days. Managers leave by mutual consent. You very rarely hear of a manager resigning. They leave by mutual consent. We'll never know exactly what went on behind closed doors. But
no, we won't. We've got an interview with Aaron Downs that I did 5 minutes chatting to the interim manager coming up, and he does say during that Gary was selfless. So that suggests a certain...
Yeah. Should we go and have a listen to that?
Shall we go and...
Let's have a listen to it, and we'll be back. You can say it.
No, you say it.
On the other side of Aaron Downs.
Hi, Aaron. It's been a mad 24 hours or so. I saw you yesterday at the press conference, and it felt like no one really knew what was coming. So you've now got the responsibility of the first team, and that's what your mind is on now, is it?
Yeah, that's correct. As you say, it was it was definitely a difficult day for a lot of people at this football club, and a lot of people we care about. So it was a difficult day. We're, as you say, it's now my focus to compartmentalise everything and to break it down into smaller pieces and try and my sole focus right at this moment in time is making sure the health and well-being of the players first and foremost. Is okay. Try and give them as much reassurances as possible, but there's also a lot of uncertainty around, as we know. And then it will be trying to get the players in the best frame of mind, really, and to go and put on a performance tomorrow afternoon and prepare the team to go and win a football match. So they're sort of my immediate focuses, and they're the only things really I can control. So. Yeah, as you say, it's a difficult couple of hours or difficult day. Yeah. But I do know through adversity, there can be success. So it's my focus on making sure that we can get through the next sort of 48 hours and then progress from there.
I'm sure you've spoken to Gary. You have the job with his blessing, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, me and the gaffer have spoke about things previously, but this... sort of come unexpected, I suppose. Yeah. Especially yesterday when we woke up yesterday morning and we're in the car together. That was not the sort of day we envisaged. Yeah. But the manager's been very selfless, shall I say, in his actions and how things have been dealt with. And me and him had a good conversation. And absolutely, we're on. The best of terms of respect I've got for the man is very high, and he's happy for me to carry on however long it's for.
You're quite a technical coach in the way that you use data and statistics and stuff. I think possibly more than Gary was. Will that now come into play more for you and your thinking of the game?
There's obviously, I'm every coach and person has their own thoughts and way of dealing with things, and I've got mine but I was a player under Gary and also a coach under him, so there's certain elements that will stay with me for a while, but there's also thoughts and ideas I've of my own, as of course, and it's important for me not to implement too much too soon on the players. And try and confuse them too much. But the most important thing for me is making sure that we go out, we're competitive, we're positive in what we do. There'll be a game plan that we'll put into action, and hopefully we can fulfil that, and we can try and make what's been a difficult week for the football club end on a real positive note.
Obviously, the protests have been shelved, and for obvious reasons, and. You would hope now that people will get to play more tomorrow and make some noise and get behind the team and make it a real event, would you?
What I club is that in adversity, it's a very strong and united front, and that is what I believe the supporters will show. You know, that they will support the football club in difficult times, difficult moments. It's a community club, it's a family club, and it's something that's very dear to a lot of us here at the football club. And I really don't expect any less than the supporters to come and support us. You know, the way that they have done for so many years, well over 125 years of this football club, have, you know, stuck through it through good times and bad times. And you know, it's been a difficult week, and I know this football club will come out fighting. So I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody on Saturday, and in good numbers, I believe. So you know, I'm hopeful of a really positive day for everybody involved.
Aaron, thanks for talking to me today. It's been a tough couple of, well, tough 24 hours or whatever it is, but wish you all the best for Saturday.
No, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Cheers,
appreciate
mate.
It. Cheers. Ta-da, bye.
So, in adversity, a very strong and united front.
Yeah, good line.
He says,
isn't it? Yeah,
good line. I mean, somebody put it on social media last night that he bleeds yellow, Aaron Downs.
Right. Okay.
He is a great supporter of Torquay. Played for us, Player of the Year, back as Gary's assistant, now interim manager. It'll be interesting to see where he takes us.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good interview, not from me, but from him. His answers, I thought, were really considered and quite fresh.
Yeah.
Felt fresh.
Look, it sounds to me, I've only heard it through once very quickly just then, but it sounds to me as if he's looking forward to the challenge.
Yeah.
You know, he's not one to shirk a challenge,
no,
Aaron.
No, and, you know, I texted him this morning quite early on to say, can I have 5 minutes of your time? I appreciate it's going to be a bloody busy day for you, and if that's, you know, if that's too much of your time, then fine. But he was straight back to me and said, yeah, give me a call at whatever time, and it was a good chat.
I mean, the Avely game is going to be fascinating. It's going to be the 90 minutes. It's going to be a good game of football because we love a game of football. But the atmosphere will be interesting. What sort of reception will Aaron get? What sort of reception will the players get? How many people will be there? Who's running the club?
Yeah.
it's going to be an afternoon not to miss, because we'll find out the answers to all those questions.
I reckon there'll be quite a big attendance in terms of, you know, what you would have expected for the protest game that is now no longer happening.
If yesterday hadn't happened, I think you'd probably be looking at a 1,500 crowd.
You could well have been, yeah. Possibly bolstered by the fans that did want to protest.
Now you could be looking at a much bigger crowd than that. People, a bit of curiosity.
I'm scared of saying what it could be, but, you know, we're not talking millions here. But
no, it could be a 2-2 tomorrow, couldn't it? Could be a Desmond tomorrow.
Mm.
Let's see how that goes. Very interesting to hear from Aaron, and it'll be interesting to hear how he handles a post-match. I mean, he's done it before.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's his team now.
It is, and I asked him, you know, a bit more of a technical coach, as in, I mean,
we had a chat with him yesterday about
how he uses stats and data and all that business. After the cameras had stopped rolling, wasn't it actually?
Yeah.
But it was like you said, we should do something on that.
I think it's fascinating. I think the science is fascinating.
Yeah. So they, him and Louis, are well into that. So will that change the way he sees the team should be playing? Obviously, he said, you know, he's been a coach, a player and a coach with Gary for a long time. And, you know, obviously he will be influenced by the way Gary worked. And it will be a while before that kind of rubs off. And, even he doesn't know how long interim manager means anything, doesn't it?
I wonder if he'll use Asa as his number two.
Possibly.
Because Asa's not playing tomorrow because he's still injured.
No.
So, and he, I believe, has his coaching badges or has some coaching
has some
badges.
Of them. Yeah.
So maybe Asa Hall becomes.
Should have asked that,
two.
But then there's so many things I could have asked, and I did say I only wanted 5 minutes of his time. So.
Yeah. It'll become apparent during the game tomorrow.
It'll be interesting to see the lineup. It'll be interesting to see the crowd's reaction to the players, to the team, to the manager, to the, you know.
Well, careful how we phrase this, because there's all kinds of stuff flying around on social media blaming the fans for what's happened here, which is completely bogus. But it'll be interesting. People have got what they wished for now. Gary Johnson.
There was a majority of fans in the end who wanted Gary Johnson gone. There was also a big amount of fans who wanted Clark Osborne gone. Well, both of those things have happened now.
Yeah.
And we're in administration and it's dark times.
It is. Well, yeah. I mean, we're all looking, thinking, oh, this will be interesting. Yeah. You know, we've got a new era starting, a big game tomorrow that we're all going to rush up and see, and hopefully we'll give the players a good reception. But this is a dark, dark time.
I've been guilty of writing a couple of times, you know, there is no Torbay billionaire who's going to come riding in on a white steed with you know, £6 million in his back pocket to pay off what essentially has been put into the club by Clark. But I had a good chat with our old friend David Thomas last night.
Yeah,
who is doing a round of media interviews, we understand, this morning.
He'd have been on this podcast if he wasn't in such demand. Other people got him first. Yeah.
He said, well, that is the case, if that's the case, but it depends how the money went into the club. It was more covering the costs.
Yeah.
Does he have the right to take that back? Is the question. Because if he doesn't, and he has walked away with the knowledge that he's not going to get his £5 or £6 million back, because he didn't get the chance to build houses somewhere in a stadium somewhere, because that's what it was all about. He was never shy about saying that.
No.
And he's just gone, okay, I'm not getting what I want. I'm just going to walk away and put it into administration. If he doesn't want his money back, quite an attractive prospect for someone. But if he does want his money back, then that's a problem.
I don't think as a businessman he's going to walk away from £5 million. I don't know.
We don't know because we don't know the inner workings of the club. Of course, you know, the club was owned by Riviera Stadiums Limited, which is owned by Gaming International, which is owned by Clark.
So it's Riviera Stadiums Limited that will have gone into administration,
I assume.
I mean, we haven't seen the paperwork. Yeah. We need to see it. I had a quick look this morning online just because I was thinking, well, what does administration really mean for a football club? What it means is that the administrator actually handles everything apart from what happens on the pitch. So whatever isn't Aaron Downes' responsibility
is
the administrator's responsibility.
Yeah.
The whole lot. And the administrator's job is to sell the club, to try and avoid it being wound up. And this is where it gets dark.
Yeah.
This is where it gets really, really dark. The administrator can sell the club's assets, including players, although at our level, transfer fees aren't massive.
No.
I mean, selling our top player.
They might look at the wages.
Yeah, that's true.
Rather than selling a player thinking we're going to have to offload.
See, if you're Manchester City and you sell Jack Grealish, you're making millions. If we sell Aaron Jarvis, great player and lovely,
The irony of football nowadays is Jack Grealish's monthly paycheck would have saved Talk United three times over.
Absolutely. it's just crazy. The amount Manchester City's players spend on hair product in a week would save a little club like Talk United.
Yeah.
That's the iniquities of football now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And nobody cares. Apart from the
players at the top don't care. No. Otherwise, they'd be helping their local clubs out.
That's it. And the football authorities are quite happy to carry on shoveling money into the clubs at the top.
Yeah.
And clubs at the bottom can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But that's... so the hierarchy of the football club, for the administrator, he needs to make sure, first of all, that the players get paid.
Right.
Apparently, that's number one.
Right.
And managers get paid as well, is number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else comes after that. So, we're thinking earlier on that players at Torquay are family men. They've got bills. They've got mortgages. Yeah. They'll be worried.
They're not earning a fortune.
No.
They haven't earned enough in that time at Torquay to take a sudden hit.
No. So, I mean, there'll be a cloud over over the dressing room from that point of view, but the players are the first priority.
And that's why Aaron, I think, talked about making sure players' well-being is first priority before anything else.
And you've got, I mean, we know lots of people at the club. We know people who work behind the scenes. Yeah. We know the people who run the community sports trust and that sort of thing. And they're all going to be thinking, well, what happens next?
Yeah.
And this will all pan out over the next few weeks.
It will.
The worst case scenario is that the club gets liquidated.
Yeah.
Like Chester, Scarborough, Darlington, various clubs that you could name.
And then that's the end of Talk United as we know it.
That's when the so-called Phoenix Club happens. Macclesfield is another one that's come up from. Yeah. And Bury and Hereford. You know, it happens, but blimey, it's going to be hard work.
So one of the Clark obviously didn't own the stadium.
No.
The stadium, Plainmoor Stadium, is owned by the Torbay Council.
Torbay Council.
You were at a Torbay Council meeting yesterday when this all blew up.
It was. I don't have this figure exact, but I believe that Torquay United pays around £100,000 a year to Torbay Council in rent.
Right. Which is not unreasonable.
It's quite a lot of money as well. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of money for Torquay United to find.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of money for Torbay Council to lose
if
it wasn't coming in. So there's a significant thing there. But as you say, Torbay Council owns Plainmoor. The leader of the council, David Thomas, and the leader of the Lib Dems, Steve Darling, both spoke quite eloquently about Torquay United at the meeting last night.
Mm-hmm.
Plainmoor is not for sale. They reiterated once again, that Torbay Council has Plainmoor. They also said that they would do whatever the council could to help Torquay United over this particular patch.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Darling was saying that, you know, as a Torquay United supporter, they're very keen that football continues at Plainmoor and that football is played by Torquay United.
So that's a good sign.
There wasn't a voice in the council chamber raising any kind of doubts last night.
At what level that football is played is a different matter.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a Phoenix club or whether it's existing Torquay United. But it's a good sign that the council seem to be suggesting that they want a Torquay United to be playing at Plainmoor.
It's their stadium, which they rent to a football club.
I mean, every incumbent owner has tried to buy Plainmoor from the council and everyone's failed.
It's not happening.
I think Thea got quite close, didn't she?
Yeah. But it's not happening. I mean, the council of both, I mean, they don't see eye to eye. Actually, there was an outbreak of harmony and good humour in the council last night. They were agreeing with each other on everything. It was very, very not newsworthy. But councillors, Conservatives, Liberal Democrats are all saying the same thing, that, you know, independents as well, they will support Torquay United.
Yeah. So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Let's talk about the 10 points.
So,
a 10-point deduction, I believe. Somebody said it was 12. I think it's 10. But 10 points would drop us down to 19th place in the league.
In which case you're fighting a relegation.
You are fighting a relegation battle with some teams who are in a muck and nettles battle to stay in this league.
Yeah.
We go from being playoff contenders to relegation.
Has the National League said anything yet?
Not seen anything.
So what I found odd was the National League's website had a big piece about Gary Johnson leaving the club by mutual consent, in which it didn't mention administration at all.
Somebody's not doing their
due diligence. It's just a very odd thing to do.
I mean, we're still very early. We're still less than 24 hours.
Yeah, I kept on saying it's been a funny 24 hours to Aaron, but it's not. Yeah. I mean, you know, we were sitting were we sitting in the press conference? Yeah, we probably just left the press conference yesterday morning.
So, I mean, things are moving very fast. As we say, by the time this podcast comes out, things will probably have changed.
The millionaire will have come in.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds will have come in.
Who? I got the most stupidest press release last week.
Really?
Yeah. And I actually emailed the guy back and said, look, the person you are quoting, did you pay for his quotes? I mean, and it was a betting company.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quotes from Lee Sharp saying,
I did see that.
Torquay United could be the, what Torquay United need is Hollywood movie stars to come in and buy them, and then they'll be big. And
that's where it, I saw somebody had actually turned that into a story.
I looked at it and I thought, what kind of story is that? Of course, everyone wants a shining saviour coming over the hill, but just by saying it doesn't make it happen.
Do you think that was one of those press releases where somebody's rung up Lee Sharp and said, is it okay if we say this?
Yeah, and he probably sent it to Bradford as well and Leeds. And
Who have we got? The Crankies going to come up with a couple of million?
It's funny, you're not the first person who said that. Van Davy Dozy.
Who have we got? Peter Masters. People keep talking about Peter Masters, who was the man behind Truro.
No, thank you.
West Country businessman. Has history of owning football clubs.
Yeah, didn't leave Truro in that good a state.
That'd be interesting to see who comes forward, who comes out of the woodwork. Yeah.
I mean, have you checked your bank balance today? I mean, are you thinking...
I don't think I'm quite in a position to do it.
The trouble is, I don't think Tufts are either. And in an ideal world, you'd want the kind of model that has worked at Exeter City.
Yeah,
but I mean, for some reason, there seems to be more money in the Supporters Trust.
And don't forget Exeter.
Exeter
have had a number of very significant and well-earned windfalls.
Yeah.
They had Ollie Watkins, who continues to make the money. I think every time he laces his boots up,
I think he's just finished. I think it was the last. I think the last.
There's an add-on.
The last add-on was the last one.
And they had cup ties. They had the Manchester United cup tie. Didn't they play Liverpool as well?
Yeah.
You know, they've had that. And they've. Don't get me wrong.
Some good players. Yeah,
they've worked for it. You know, it's not. This is not just luck.
Yeah,
but they've earned some money.
I think that the Supporters Trust model lends itself better to a city than maybe a seaside town. Put it that way.
But it'll be interesting to talk to Nick and Bob and the guys.
Well, I talked to Nick a couple of times yesterday. First time he was on his way down to talk to George Edwards for a pre-planned meeting ahead of the protest. So
okay.
And that meeting didn't go ahead. He got to Claymore, and he did see George Edwards, but they didn't have the meeting.
Do we think, are George Edwards and Mel Heyman still running the club?
We don't know that.
We'll find out tomorrow when we see whether they're there, presumably.
I presume, I can't imagine that, I don't think, you can't imagine that the administrators will retain a CEO.
No.
But whether that's business to be done today.
But there's business to be done today.
There's a lot of business to be done today. Yeah.
I assume there's day-to-day running of the club that we don't know about that somebody's got to do.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens there. What else did I scribble down? Oh, there's questions, so many questions that spring to mind. You know, who is actually running the club right now?
Well, the administrators.
If they've been appointed. Yeah. That may happen.
The fact
that
they were there yesterday, which I know, the fact that suggests they have been, they've just not formalised the announcement properly yet.
And I just scribbled down some bad things here. What will Gary Johnson's legacy be?
Well, it's a shame, isn't it? Because it's come at the wrong time.
It has. And it will. His legacy will always be remembered for these last 6 months rather than the first 5 years.
Yeah. And well, obviously, the high point was the same day as the low point until this moment.
Well,
Bristol City, Ashton Gate.
You can trace the thread from this all the way back to Ashton Gate.
You can.
If those two goals had been allowed.
Yeah.
If we hadn't missed those penalties.
I wonder if he's had a moment to reflect.
If we hadn't missed those penalties.
Yeah. Terrible decisions.
If we'd gone up to League Two then.
Would we have done better than Hartlepool did, who only took two seasons to come back down again?
But you know, we would still be reasonably buoyant.
Yeah.
Whereas it's been, as somebody very clever said, it's been half a league, half a league, half a league downwards ever since.
Yeah.
And you can trace it back to that day.
You can, because that squad, first and foremost, was probably on a lot more money than this squad is. We know that. That some of the key players, Gary tried to keep.
Mm-hmm.
He offered them very good contracts around Christmas time which they wouldn't sign until they knew whether Torquay was going to be a league team again or a National League team again. And obviously Torquay ended up being a National League team again, so those players were able to walk away because they hadn't signed those lucrative contracts. And they if they'd signed those contracts, they would be making more money than they were already on. So, you know, it was a gamble for them. And
For some of them, it's paid off. For some of them, it hasn't. Yeah. But, again, it all traces back there. Clark Osborne's legacy is...
Well, I mean, he was a property developer buying a football club to make money out of a stadium, probably some houses. So he never really had a footballing legacy, did he?
No.
Now he will go down into folklore with the other one that we shall not name.
Well, and, you know, we said...
Chris Roberts.
Shut up. we said many, many times that, you know, they keep putting money into the club. They keep putting money into the club. Gaming International, keeping us afloat, putting money. It's only when they stop putting money into the club now that you realise they're probably going to want that back.
Yeah.
As, you know,
we've had that discussion whether they will or not.
But. Yeah. What role does Tust have to play now going forwards?
Well, I think they've got to obviously support the administrators, but also make sure that the fans now get behind the team as well.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm sure that they'll be looking around for people that might have a bit of money and seeing if they can afford to.
Yeah.
Put in some kind of help.
I mean,
we've got to get to the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've got to stay in this league. If we get a 10-point deduction, the playoffs are a massive long shot.
Yeah.
Even if we go on to a winning run.
If we get a deduction, then the playoffs are gone.
We just have to make sure we don't get dragged into that dogfight with Taunton and Truro and Dover and all the teams that we found hard to beat.
Yeah, and the players who we hope stay.
Yeah.
It's now their responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And they've got to be better than they have been because, unfortunately, some players who are probably on, you know, half decent money for this level of football have not been performing. I can think of three or four, but I'm not going to name them.
No, that's true. And will they stay? Or will they be assets that the administrator says, we can't afford you anymore?
Will Aaron want some? We don't know. True. And Aaron could be interim manager for 5 minutes or 12 years. Do you know what I mean? Don't know.
That was the next question I was going to come to. Who manages the team going forward? Aaron is Torquay through and through.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what Aaron can do with this team, and I hope he gets
I'd like to see him be given a chance to take it on for the short term and earn longer term.
Yeah, I mean, bringing somebody in, you know, parachuting somebody in at this
stage
doesn't
work
for
me at the moment. No.
Depends who it is.
There's a guy called Gary Johnson available.
Remember when he was... Actually, I found a picture. I actually downloaded it. I found a picture of you, me and Gary Johnson on the day when he first signed.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, there's a picture of us standing at Playmore. And the reaction was Helen Chamberlain's tweet, which just was four words: Gary Johnson, bloody hell. And it was a
brilliant piece of PR by the new owners, even to get someone like Gary Johnson.
But people are talking, all kinds of people. Tim Sills is getting mentioned.
He was very quickly on Twitter,
talking
wasn't
about
he? I'm not saying he was putting himself in the window, but I mean, he wouldn't turn it down, would he?
He would love to manage this club if it's on a sound footing.
Yeah.
He'd be foolish to come if it's not on a sound footing. But he gets mentioned. Paul Watton gets mentioned a lot.
I like Paul. I find him really easy to talk to when I do bits about Truro. He was at the Slough game.
Was he?
Because they were called off again. There's never going to be a game played at Taunton ever again, I don't think. Anyway, he was at the Slough game because obviously Truro weren't playing that day.
So there's all kinds of speculation going on, but if Aaron is staying as interim manager, give him a bit of breathing room. Give
he
him a chance.
He talked really well earlier on. I was really impressed.
You know, let him do the job and let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
So let's get behind Aaron tomorrow and get 3 points.
Absolutely,
it's going to be quite an afternoon tomorrow, isn't it?
It's going to be a different one from the one we were expecting.
A lot of people will be listening to this after Saturday and they'll know. And they'll be sitting there going, well, I didn't know we were going to get hammered 5-0. Or maybe we'll go and win the game and Aaron Jarvis will score a couple of goals and we'll go home feeling great.
Yeah.
Who knows? That's the beauty of football, isn't it? You can be in a really
football
dark place.
Football is a
wonderful
place. Thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you can be off the field. You can be in a dark, dark place, which is where we are right now. But on the field, if we score a couple of early goals, there'll be smiles all around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who knows?
Interesting times, Guy.
Interesting times. I'm sorry if this has been a little bit of a random race around. We didn't have a script. We just had a piece of paper.
No Hot Wheels this time.
No Hot Wheels this time. A lot of shorthand notes on a piece of paper.
So that podcast that we did yesterday was uploaded to the server. I edited it, uploaded it to the server, sent the bump that goes on Devon Live to go with it to Daniel, which includes the link. And then it happened, and so I asked Daniel not to put that up, but it actually still there out in the ether. So you can go and listen to that, and if you want to listen to the 45 minutes of an out of date podcast,
the actual press conference stuff is quite interesting because if you listen to it, you may already have listened to it. There's no clue. There's nothing. I've gone over it in my mind time and time again to think, well, you know, were they trying to give us any clues? Was there any? And I don't really think there was.
The you came up with a title for yesterday's podcast,
Judgment
which I called
Day.
It Judgment Day. How
how prescient that
yeah,
was.
So
I meant tomorrow.
Is this Judgment Day 2?
Judgment Day 2. And tomorrow will be Judgment Day 3.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes.
Interesting times.
The council again last night, they saw it coming, but they will stand by the club.
Good.
I think it's important now that the fans do, and let's start a new era.
Yeah, it's an era some wanted. It's an era others didn't want. It's an era that maybe some wanted but didn't expect administration, etc. But it's just time to get behind the club now, isn't it? Or the team, and especially the team tomorrow, because their confidence is going to be a bit ropey, obviously.
Yeah.
Aaron's going to be working with them today.
And I mean, the next few
to
weeks
to win a football match,
we will go to some dark places in the next few weeks. It's not going to be easy, this.
No.
But shall we finish the podcast as we always do?
Yeah.
Come on, you yellows, always.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley Archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. For the pride, buckle up.